The Knocking at the Door. Chapter 2. To whom is the message addressed? As we look at Revelation 3 verses 14 to 21, several very important factors come to light. First, we find that the message is not addressed to the lady of the church, but to its leadership. This is entirely different from the usual application made for many decades. Whereas we ministers have often pleaded with our congregations to accept this message, all the while the Lord has intended that we accept it. He addresses the message thus: Unto the angel of the church of the Laodiceans write. How do we know that the angel of the church is the leadership of the church? He himself answers, The mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in my right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. Who are the seven stars that he holdeth in his right hand? They are the ministerial leadership of the church. God's ministers are symbolized by the seven stars, which he who is the first and the last has under his special care and protection. The sweet influences that are to be abundant in the church are bound up with these ministers of God, who are to represent the love of Christ. The stars of heaven are under God's control. He fills them with light. He guides and directs their movements. If he did not, they would become fallen stars. So with his ministers. The crown of 12 stars on the head of the pure woman represents the 12 apostles. When the little horn cast down some of the stars to the ground, we commonly understand them to symbolize prominent Jewish leaders. The star, called Wormwood, we understand to be Attila, leader of the Huns, and the third part of the stars, smitten by his depredations, we take to be the leaders of the Roman Empire. Church leadership is said to be especially those in the offices that God has appointed for the leadership of his people. It follows that the angel of the church of the Laodiceans is the human leadership of the church, the great heart of the work, the highest authority that God has upon the earth. It is to this leadership, therefore, that the Lord Jesus primarily addresses his all-important Laodicean message. If they truly understand and receive the message, the ministry and laity of the church will be quick to accept it also. This is implied from the following. The members of our churches are not incorrigible. The fault is not so much to be charged upon them as upon their teachers. Their ministers do not feed them to brethren in responsible positions. Second, the Lord Jesus recognizes that what has held us back is unknown sin. This is evident from several factors found in the message. He says, I know thy works. The angel of the church does not know or understand his works or his true condition, hence the message informing him. When he says, Thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods, and have need of nothing, it is obvious that the angel does not know or realize that he says those things. In fact, in the century that has passed since this message was first recognized among us as present truth, never has a responsible Seventh-day Adventist been heard to boast in those words. Jesus must be speaking of the unconscious language of the heart. There is something more meaningful here than a superficial glance makes apparent. Thou knowest not your true condition. The Greek verb does not mean you know not because you have not been informed or because you have not learned, but you know not because you have not perceived. The negative with oida means a lack of perception, a lack of relationship, the equivalent of our word unconscious. Thou knowest not means that the most elementary and fundamental truths of our condition are unconscious to us. This is a lack of perception, not a lapse of conscious memory. It is not a lack of awareness due to weakened physical organisms, a lowering of the spiritual IQ, due to illness or degeneracy, or even a lack of mental information. It is not a lack of intelligence. We know not because a spiritual and emotional barrier has been erected in our souls due to our guilt and consequence of sin. To recognize that the message is addressed primarily to the leadership of the church is in no way being critical. For one thing, the observation is based on simple fact. Further, it is a truth that greatly enhances the respect that is due to church leadership. Respect for the principles of church organization is inherent in this understanding of the Laodicean message. Church leadership, especially that of the General Conference, is tremendously important. To understand that the angel of the church is primarily General Conference leadership restores respect for church organization to its rightful place. To deny it is to invite chaos. And last, this recognition can in no way be considered fault-finding. This is because the principle of corporate guilt presented in this book precludes the possibility of any holier-than-thou attitude. We are all in this problem together, and the long delay is our total responsibility together.